my goodness.
Okay, now see, now my hand's on the back of the small, your back.
Yeah, good job.
And we're just shuffling. Now you're
not so close. Not so close.
Well, you got to get this close whenever you're doing salsa.
What's that in your pocket?
Watch out.
What is that?
I don't have anything in my pocket.
It's poking me.
It's a maraca.
It's poking me.
Are you ready? Here comes.
Okay,
here comes the dip. And. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Couple of dips.
How do we. Hey, Dave, how do we look?
Look good?
Ridiculous.
Not sexy?
Ridiculoso.
We were doing the flamenco dancing.
In some countries, ridiculous is the word for sexy.
Thank you.
And speaking of ridiculously sexy, let's bring in comedian Alex Raimondo on this Cinco de Mayo. What's up, brother? How are you?
Buenas tardes, amigos. You took my line. I was going to say, is that a maraca in your pants?
Hey, listen. Rest assured, Alex, when any woman looks at me, they never say that. First I got to start off by talking to you about letting everyone know how much of an idiot I am.
Well, Alex, you prove it every day.
Alex lands in Kentucky. He's been out doing some gigs. And we're on the phone yesterday, and I said, hey, man, I saw you played the Hard Rock. Who was that guy that you took your picture with? I said, was that Daryl Hall? And he said, no, that's Ron White.
That happens all the time with those two.
Yeah. This picture. He looks different, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Dwight's second guess was Moses. He said, who is that guy? Yeah, we were down at the Hard Rock kicking off our relationship with the Hard Rock Seminole Casinos of Florida and really across the U.S. And we promoted and we just had a great time. We put on, that was the first time that Ron and I did a show together since March of 2020.
Wow. That's
almost so it was
year.
Nice to. It was nice to be around my brother again, you know. It was we did some shows all for VIPs, but here's the good news. If you go down to Florida, anyone that's listening, I know you guys reach out a little further than Louisville, but to anyone that goes down to Florida, visit those Hard Rock Seminole Casinos and get yourself a number one tequila. And happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
How did the shows go? I know they were VIP shows only, but it had to feel good to take the stage. What was capacity there? I mean, was it even though it was VIP?
You know, it was very small. I mean, it was weird because one room we played, they normally have 1,300 people in there at full capacity. We had 120.
That's got to be uncomfortable.
It was odd. I mean, the setup was beautiful. Now, nobody does it better than the Hard Rocks and the MGMs, but the setup was beautiful, but it was odd to look at it was like a big cavern, but every table had to be at least 15 feet from the next table, and they were all set for two, but they all had their own little lamp, and they had the three tequilas being tasted, and they were being served, and it was odd because, you know, me and Ron are still up there on that, 35-foot stage, and we're looking down at 120 people.
Right.
The most popular night in any restaurant is either free pie night or dollar margaritas for the ladies, right? That's when it's packed.
Well, usually if you get the dollar margaritas, you might get the other two.
Hey, it's never free.
Hey, no. One way or the other,
you're going to pay. Okay, all right, Okay.
I'm just going to clear something up before you get into that. I want to clear something up. Yesterday, in the past couple of days, I said Alex and I will be making margaritas at Slugger Field.
Yes.
That's not the case.
What? What happened?
We're just going to be drinking them. Center Plate will be making the margaritas.
Okay.
But...
Yeah.
Chip Sobel sent me a message, and he said it's going to be half off on margaritas.
Okay, first of all, I understand this because I started thinking, what's the health department think about Dwight Whitten making margaritas for the public outside a baseball stadium? So you guys are going to be there tonight. Man, Alex, last night it was 610 days since there was a game at Louisville Slugger Field last night. So game two tonight, I think it's a perfect atmosphere for you guys tonight. What do you say?
I cannot wait. I flew home in time for this, and I could not be more excited than to be a part of Louisville Slugger Field and just a part of this city. Number one, be fully prominent, you know, that, like Dwight said, you know, they're serving our tequila there. So now when you go to Slugger Field any time of the year, when you go support this team, which you should, everybody, right, go support this team, support this city. But you can drink number one tequila. But every Wednesday game is going to be margarita night, and they're doing specials on the margaritas. But tonight and probably every Wednesday, my team will be out front as you come in giving people the information. We're not serving anything. We're only there to say, welcome to the game, everybody. Number one tequila's inside, the margaritas are at this bar, and then, you know, kind of giving the information and directing. We're just there as ambassadors of fun. But what Dwight and I are going to do is, if I can get my bus up on that curb, which I'll be working on here in a little bit, Dwight and I will be on the bus, and we'll be filming some stuff, and we'll be making our own margaritas for our own consumption and just teaching people how to enjoy different margaritas. I know he has a recipe, and I have one as well.
That was going to be my question. If you were making margaritas for everybody, give me Alex's recipe.
I'm an old speed bartender. You know, I come out of I'm an old bartender, so and everywhere I ever worked was a speed bar. So I like to make it quick. I like to make it simple and delicious. And my recipe is a drink that we call the Taterade. All it is a skinny margarita. It's number one tequila, fresh squeezed lime, and pineapple juice. Shake it and drink it. That's all you got to do. We have one, the exact same drink, but we make it with the red, my Reposado tequila, the red bottle rather than the white one. And it's the same recipe, but you add a dash of grenadine to give it a nice, pretty pinkish-orange color, and they are beautiful. And the beautiful thing about both those margaritas, you can make them complex, and you can add all kinds of stuff, but these are sugar-free. No artificial sugars in these drinks, so guess what? You can have four or five of them, and there's no headache.
And guess what? Yes,
so that's what I recommend.
That's exactly where I was going. Without the sugars, without the mixers, there goes the hangovers out the window.
God.
And I experimented.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll be honest. I love a frozen margarita. I love them. And I'm just fool enough to always have more than four. And I always pay that price because, you know, the concentrate, you know, is there's a lot of sugar in it. And it has to be because, it's they're freezing them. But again, on the rocks, shake. The trick is shake them, everybody. Shake them. But I know Dwight has a wonderful recipe, and we're going to share it with everybody. And I think Dwight's going to put it on his social media. So come out to the game, everybody. Come out to the game. Enjoy the bats. Brand new season. Let's go kick some Colorado butt, and let's have some fun. Let's drink some margaritas.
Hey, I love it. Let's talk about life out there on the road. You've been playing clubs for a while. As a matter of fact, I saw you here in Louisville, and man, it great crowd. But what's it like out there? Are cities starting to lift more and more restrictions when it comes to comedy clubs? Because in my opinion, it's tough. If you play to a room that's like 20 people, that's a tough crowd, man.
You know what? I mean, each state, that's up to them what they're doing. And I got to say, you know, every business has suffered, right? Comedy clubs have suffered in the sense that comedy clubs have always been that. Well, you're not a bar. You're not a restaurant. No one can figure out what they are. Yeah. You're selling seats. You're not a theater. And so they've always kind of been that one little bastard child that gets treated no one knows what to do with them. Almost like the prostitution in Louisiana, like they were just talking about. They don't know what to do with it. The Caravan. When I played the Caravan, you know, what is the normal capacity? The normal capacity is 235. I think it was capped out at 90. But I got to tell you, thanks to you, Dwight, and the things we did for the Indiana Animal Shelter, we sold out every single show. We added a show.
Yeah.
We added a show. And here's the great news about that room in particular. It's a basement, and there is no better setting for stand-up comedy than a basement, a little room like that. You know, again, Ron and I just did 120 in a room for 1,300 that was a banquet event center, and that just swallows the sound. So it can be challenging, but the shows that I've done across the state of Texas, which is mostly where I've been the first part of the year, they have been, again, small bars, small rooms, half capacity. But I tell you, I have enjoyed getting close, and I don't mean that in a sense of physically close, but the closer communication I have with the fans, because usually there's you know, at a Ron White show, there's always 1,500 to 2,500 to 6,000 people. But Alex Raimundo shows, if I'm just out by myself, there's anywhere from, you know, 200 to 600. So for when I can play these, that I, now that I've been playing these rooms of 60 people and 75 and 110, I'm really digging that closeness that I'm getting. And again, I don't mean physically, but that closeness I'm feeling with my fans, because those are the people that do like what I have to say. And I've loved it. I've felt fantastic. And I tell you what, I missed it. I forgot how much I missed. And now I know it can be taken away. And so I'm cherishing every single moment. And when I tell the club owner that I'm going to do an hour and I come off, you know, an hour and 55 minutes later, it's only because I'm just having so much fun up there.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that for a second. You're out, you're playing clubs finally, you're doing gigs, and you have been for several months now. But Ron White, again, you have the ability, you play the large theaters, you can also play intimate settings like comedy clubs. Ron White, he's been handcuffed. Is he going stir crazy? Is he going nuts? Is he doing okay?
He has been, and I tell you, when this all shut down back in March of 2020, he already had, and I only know this because this is what he was telling people this week, he had 80 sold out shows on the books.
Oh.
So he's got to go back.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so he's got a commitment to go back to do those, which is a beautiful thing, right, for him and for the fans. But before he goes out and does those, I mean, one thing about stand-up comedy, and any stand-up comic will tell you, even the young comics that aren't even professionals yet, you've got to work on those chops, and you got to be sharp. And he hasn't performed for a year, which is why he's been stepping into unannounced comedy clubs in Florida, and they just say, hey, surprise feature act, everybody, please welcome Ron White. People are like, what the hell? And he walks up, and he's got the beard, and he doesn't look like Ron. He's not in a suit. He's in a pair of jeans and a shirt, and he's just trying to kick the rust off of, you know, what he does before he goes back to these theaters, which the Palace is on that list, I believe, for a July date. And you know, because when, guess what? When there's 2,700 people at the Palace, they don't want a Ron White that is trying to get his legs back. They want to know that Ron is just as strong and as powerful, and that's what he said. He's just looking for that, you know, he's looking for that power. You know, a golf swing, when you hit it wrong and when you hit it right, that power that you get, that's what he's looking for, to make sure he delivers that. And that is the constant professional that my brother is, which is why I jumped back out in January. I said, I gotta get it back. And it's fun to chase. It's elusive. It's almost like a batter. Let's use a baseball term. You know, when a batter gets in a slump, you're like, holy moly, do I still have it? Did I lose it? You know, but the people are ready, and we want to make sure we're ready.
80 missed shows. The ex-wives could not have been happy.
Well, the ex-wife is...
like you said, it's never free. It's never free.
But the ex-wife is his sister, so wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay, hey, listen.
Yeah.
Alex, I'll see you tonight. Baseball is back at Slugger Field. I will see you down there. Half-price margaritas, and you and I will be on social media showing people how to make true margaritas. One is my recipe, one is yours. Thanks so much for the time. I'll see you tonight, amigo.
Hey, guys, game is at 6:30. Gates are at 5:30. Be earlier than that. Come hang with my crew a little while. Let's have some fun.
I love it. Back after this. See you, Alex, on News Radio 840. Thanks, WHAS.
This is News Radio 840 WHAS.
Some called it a creek, some called it a ditch. We didn't have no money, but we were 30 Keystone Ridge. And we live late night, tip through those Sony 10 explodes. Life seemed a little brighter behind tinted windows and those Dixie Highway Boys
with private school girls.
Hey, what do you mean? What are you Dixie Highway Boys doing with my private?
That's right.
What are you doing? Hey, now.
Oh, this right.
Back up.
Hey, this is a singer-songwriter after my own heart. That's one of his many songs, Dixie Highway Nights. That's bringing me right now, Neil Medley. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing fantastic. Listen, happy Cinco de Mayo, and I assume you're calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Would that be correct?
You are very correct.
Okay.
I'm here in Nashville.
Before we get in the interview, I posted your picture along with our other guest on my page, and I said, join us tomorrow, country music artist and songwriter Neil Medley, my sister-in-law. Kathy Tyler Young sends me a text and says, I dated his brother, so I need you to get a message to your brother. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's listening right now.
Tell your brother he dodged a bullet.
Ooh, God, he's so lucky. I mean, he really did. Really, really did.
Hey, listen.
Okay. I will let him know.
Okay, let's talk about, I want to talk about the number one song that you co-wrote that Jake Owens is going on with right now. But first, I want to talk about you, because the story I hear on you, and listen, when you listen to some of your music, that was just one of the songs. Naturally, I picked that because it said Dixie Highway where I'm from. But when you listen to your music and you singing, there's the songs paint a picture. They're just so descriptive. And I think I partially know why. Here's the story I heard on you.
Okay.
You're young and you don't know what's going on. You're not sure. You fall into John Prine. And as soon as you hear John Prine, you say, oh, this is what I got to do. And you start writing songs. Is there any truth to that story? And if so, where did you go from there?
You hit it right on the head. That's exact. I don't know where you got your information, but you're exactly right. John Prine. We grew up, and my dad always played John Prine records on the RCA stereo, and I just fell in love. I didn't appreciate it when I was a kid, but when I got to Kentucky, I went to the University of Kentucky, and when I got there, me and a few buddies just fell in love with John Prine's lyrics. And,
oh yeah.
The imagery and how he twisted a phrase, and so I just fell in love with songwriting through that. And Guy Clark is another one, and Steve Earle. And when I got to Nashville, I soon realized not many people were cutting a Steve Earle or John Prine song, so I had to adjust accordingly. But I'm glad you see that. But hopefully, I kept that lyrical integrity and the visuals that they brought to my listening.
You probably get this song or question all the time, and I don't know how it must change over the decades and all that, but do you write a song for an artist, or you write the song and then you go, this is perfect for so-and-so, how, and then I'm sure the record company has something to do with that. How does that work?
Yeah, I've never sat down with anyone that isn't an artist and tried to write a song for an artist. I just write a song that I think I want to hear on the radio. Hopefully we get an artist in the room. That's the kind of new thing now. If you get an artist in the room, you got a lot better shot of getting a cut. So, but if it's just me and my buddies, like Made for You was written, we sat down and tried to write the best song in the room. And I think that's what happened that day. And Jake luckily heard it. My publisher sent it to Jake, and he fell in love with it right away, and he was playing it like a few weeks later out. Hadn't even cut the song. He was playing it in front of all of his audiences, and we were like, I hope he cuts it because he's burning this song.
Well, let's listen a little bit right here. This is the number one song on the charts right now with Country Charts, co-written by our guest right now, Neil Medley. It's Jake Owen.
And I was made for you. Yeah, I was made for you.
Okay, years ago, I heard this story. Tell me if this is wrong. Of course, it was different years ago with CD sales and all of that. Now it's download and streams. But somebody told me in a country bar that if you were, say, a songwriter for a Garth Brooks album cut, that could be worth like $250,000 to you as a songwriter. Is that true?
Yeah, well, those guys back in the 90s were making very good living just getting cuts on albums, not even the singles. And streaming and everything, album sales. When's the last time you bought a CD? Since that's gone away, people can't make a good living on just album cuts. I've had some really good cuts. And the only time I'm really making money is when you're playing my song on the radio. So, unfortunately, that's the case right now, which I know several people are working hard to get that turned around and trying to get a more fair pay for songwriters.
That's a shame, man. It's a shame.
No, it
platform. Yeah,
it really is. And you hear stories. You hear stories like even the great Willie Nelson. He's in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's trying to make a living just to make ends meet. He sells his song Crazy for $50. That the Patsy Cline hit Crazy. That's all he got out of it was the $50 as far as the publishing. And it used to be where publishing and writing credits, that's where all the money was. But now it seems almost backwards where they're making money touring. How tough is it? How tough is the industry on you right now?
It's very tough. I mean, we all fight and claw to get a cut, period. And to have an outside cut like Made For You was is almost unheard of now. Usually there's a writer or the artist itself that's in that camp. So it's hard to get someone, three guys to write a song and it's totally disconnected to that artist, for that artist to cut it. But it's tough. I mean, we're all fighting for cuts, and that doesn't mean we're going to get the radio single, and that's where we really get paid. So you see a lot of my buddies that weren't able to kind of make it through the hard times, and they had to move back to wherever they came from or have to get a day job, or some are roofers. And, I mean, there's only a couple hundred of us that are professional songwriters in Nashville, where there used to be several hundred.
Well, the music industry, the entertainment industry in general is ruthless, and they see somebody that's wanting to come up and make their way. If you sold a song, I just mentioned Willie Nelson singing, selling Crazy for $50. If you were to sell a song, does that then you give up all the rights of publishing? Have you ever done that, or are you going to hold steadfast and true and say, no, we'll partner with this?
I have never done it. I've had publishing deals where we share in the royalties. That's the closest. We traditionally don't sell them anymore, like to all the rights. But a new thing has come up lately where a lot of the venture capitalist companies come in and they're buying songs, kind of like you would buy mortgages, and they're kind of compiling all these great songs.
Oh yeah.
And reselling them, getting a return for their clients, and then selling them at the end of that 5 years. So some people are selling songs again because the capital gains tax is a lot lower than just the royalty tax. I think capital gains is 20%, and if I were just to get taxed on my royalties, that's almost 40%. So if you sell a song and they do a multiple of 10 or whatever, how many years it is, you save so many thousands of dollars just on 20% tax.
In the movie industry, they have, they have formulas for movies. You know, you gotta have a hot girl, you gotta have the buddy.
Explosions.
You gotta have an explosion.
Full frontal nudity.
Slow down.
A couple of jokes.
Slow down.
Farts.
Right? So, and the old joke was that country music has, has a formula. There's like, I'm going to guess that you don't go by a formula, but is there anybody in the industry that says, look, you gotta have a truck in it.
Yeah.
You gotta have a girl popping out of something like a back of a truck or.
It's the old David Allan Coe song.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which, by the way,
a train.
By the way, that song that David Allan Coe
song. You never even called me by my name?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually ghostwritten with John Prine.
John Prine
said, look, I don't want any writing credits, anything.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you don't tackle it that way, but I'm sure there is country music. I guess you guys sit around and joke about it, too, right? I mean,
We do. I mean, there is some truth to that because you see what's working on the radio, and you see it creep into writing rooms, and that's my job as a writer. That's what I've kind of proclaimed myself to do. It's keep us out of the cliche world of what's going on. The Daisy Duke shorts at one time, the
sweet
dirt
tea.
Road, slide over in my bench seat kind of right.
Yeah. Sounds like every Florida Georgia Line song ever recorded.
Oh, all right.
You forgot about sweet tea.
Yeah, sweet tea and sipping on fire and all that fun, silly imagery. But yeah, and that's probably why I don't have as many Rick. I'm sitting here singing about pissed off dads and
yes.
and so it's Yeah, I take the harder road, I guess.
Yeah, you do.
Maybe that I should. This is teaching me I should reconsider that.
Turn in the hard road for the dusty road, all right?
That's the dirt road.
Right.
Well, you talked about your inspirations, John Prine and Steve Earle, Love Guitar Town and all of his stuff. Are there a couple of performers working right now that you'd go pay to see? Give us a couple of good names that you're like, man, I love that guy or girl.
I love, number one, Eric Church. He's my favorite, like, just commercial country person. And we do pay to see him. Well, we don't pay, but I got a buddy in his band, so
I go
and see him whenever I can. He puts on the best show right now. I love what Luke Combs is doing, and Jameson Rogers, and my buddy Brent Cobb, who's kind of alt-country. I kind of grew up in the writing rooms with him, and we've been kind of like brothers for the last few years. And those are the guys. There's not a whole lot. Jake Owen, of course, is one of them. I'm more towards the Americana, Jason Isbell, World, Sturgill Tyler Childers. I love that stuff. But as far as paying to see, I write whatever's in the room that day. Yeah, so I write for the other guys too.
Yeah, and you mentioned you like to stay away from cliches, and I think that's what's endeared me to you and your music, because if you go on your website, if you go to neilmedley.com, and you listen to some of these songs, it goes back to what I would like to call classic country. It's the imagery's there. You paint a picture. Well done, I say, to this. If you listen to this music, it's the kind of country that I like, but it's also a little bit contemporary at the same time. It's a good mix, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That's the goal. I mean, it's I have two daughters and a wife. I'd love to put them through college. I'd love to contribute to the grocery fund. So I would love to write classic country songs all day, but honestly, they're not paying. So I kind of have to fight. And I'm not out. I'm not doing my own shows. I'm not an artist per se where I'm like booking tours or anything. But if I'm going to be a professional songwriter, I have to dip into what sells and try to mix it my own style into that.
All right. Great job, man. We're big fans. Mail High School, right? And UK?
Mail High School.
Mail Bulldog.
So I found your music at neilmedley.com. Is there another source that people should go to explore your music?
There's some if you want to hear the cuts I've had, there's a Spotify playlist if people are Spotify subscribers, but that's probably the best place. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, but my website's probably got the most music.
Listen, Neil, have a great day. Thanks so much. Congratulations on the number one single on the country Billboard. Man.
Local boy done good.
Yeah, hope to hear from you soon,
man.
Thanks,
guys. I appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll see you later.
What a guy, right?
Yep, no doubt.
And a song about Dixie Highway where the Dixie Highway boys are going to find the private school girls.
You know what else is on Dixie Highway, guys, right there at the Watterson?
What?
Cook and Reeves.
CookandReevesVans.com. They do so many things. They sell used cars. They also rent those luxury vans, which so many of you took advantage of over spring break, and you can do that this summer. But they're also into stretcher and wheelchair transportation. Mom or dad could be in an assisted living facility, and they can't always get in their van to go somewhere, and you can't always take them places. Maybe they want to go get their hair done. Maybe they want to go out and get a bite to eat. They have that freedom now thanks to Cook and Reeves. Just go to the website, cookandreevesvans.com, click on wheelchair and stretcher transportation. Speaking of that, if mom or dad needs to be transported via the stretcher to appointments, ambulances are really expensive. Not so much at Cook and Reeves. Friendly, dependable drivers, and you can save a lot of money. cookandreevesvans.com, 836-7679.
Tonight, my friend, is only night two of the season.
Oh, yes.
But we are going to be at the Louisville Bats, yes.
Yes, come on out. It's going to be a Cinco de Mayo game. I will be out there with comedian Alex Raimondo, and the margaritas are half price tonight at Slugger Field.
Yes.
And I just got the news that Dave Jennings and his out of his league beautiful wife will be joining us as well.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
I love it. There's Pee Wee Reese statue out front, and then there is Paul Hornung out back. You guys are going to be there for
right.
the start and then get head on in.
Yeah, we're not going to be next to the big Pee Wee.
No, you're not.
We're going to
no.
be next to the big Paul.
And then,
so if you're looking for the Pee Wee,
yeah.
you're in the wrong place.
As Kenny in the Garage once famously asked, would you want a hat full of quarters or Dave Jennings' hat full of quarters or $500? He'll answer that question tonight. You want the hat and Dave's
go with
hat
the quarters.
Full, go with the Dave's hat full of quarters. Okay.
Now, if you haven't seen that Biden's posing with the Carters yet,
yeah.
no, Bidens look like my head in the picture.
No, I just sent you a remix of that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and you're going to love it. I want to thank Philip Molestino for Louisville Mayor for joining
mayor
us.
Mayor candidate.
I want to thank Alex Raimondo. I want to thank Neil Medley for joining us. I want to thank Nick Coffee from 790 WKRD. Great show, fun show, man.
All right, we will see you tomorrow. For Dave Jennings and Dwight Whitten, I'm Tony Vannetti. You're listening to the Tony and Dwight Show on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Good night, later. Barry. Estar un día más así yo no la aguanto. Vámonos a la luna, vámonos para el cine. Vamos a dar un beso que nunca se termine. Si quiere algo serio, hay que ver mañana. Si somos novios o pues somos pana. Oh, 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 oh. This is what's happening.
The spikes are in the metros.
The latest update.
The density of the population is also probably a factor.
At the top and the bottom of the hour.
We need about 70 to 80% of the population to be immune.
Stay current.
It's extremely unlikely that we would eradicate COVID completely. It's just too contagious and too widespread.
Check in 3, 4, 5 times today.
If you disagree with these woke corporations, then you will be monitored. You will be tracked.
This is News Radio 840 WHAS.